government ways to back in the crosshairs. Why not? Let's go through some of the Hall of Fame from the past. Remember the $640 toilet seat. You had the $7,600 coffee maker, the $430 hammer.
Huh. And today?
Remember those?
Yes. How about $27 a gallon? That's the price tag for the U.S. military. They are spending our green to go green, using diesel from interesting sources like algae and chicken fat. Is it worth the hefty price? An alternative fuel program worth $500 million?
Reason Magazine's Catherine Mangu Ward says this move is absolutely ridiculous, just another case of wasteful government spending. But then there's River Twice's Zach Carabel, who could not disagree more. Catherine, what's the matter? You don't want to spend $27 a gallon? Doesn't that sound reasonable?
You know, I think national defense is really, really important, which is why I think the U.S. military should be focusing on national defense and not development of new kinds of fuels. I understand that that's the argument that people make. We have to be ready for whatever comes, but that's the miracle of the market. When fuel prices for traditional oil-based fuels go up, the market will provide with cheaper, hopefully, than $27 a gallon alternate
right.
fuels.
Wouldn't have to go hard to find that.
Zachary, what's the problem here?
Well, you know this.
Why would you want us to spend, us, you and me, to spend $27 a gallon?
It kind of depends on what you're spending it on. I mean, this is a case where government waste is using waste for national defense. And the thing about oil is, at one point when you look at it today, the price for a gallon of oil versus the price for these biofuels is highly disadvantageous to the biofuels. But, you know, one Middle East crisis, one strike on Iran later, if that price quintuples, let alone if supply becomes constricted, not only will those biofuels seem a lot cheaper relative to the price of oil, but they are a heck of a lot more obtainable if you're in a global system where that becomes insecure. And just one more thing on this. You know, the military spent huge amounts of money in the 1950s and 1960s to put nuclear reactors on submarines and aircraft carriers, not because the price of generating that energy was anywhere near competitive if you just had
right.
a coal burner, but because it was secure.
Right. Catherine, what about that? I mean, the history is, or tends to be, that the price does come down as the market becomes more efficient.
Sure, and I look forward to that day, but I find it hard to believe that by filling $12 million worth of alternate fuels into one big showy event, the Green Fleet Program, which has gotten some coverage recently, I find it hard to believe that that's the thing that's going to push us in the direction of this gradual price drop that
Zachary's point that it's about self-defense, that if there's some disruption in the Middle East and suddenly a decent percentage of oil is no longer available to us, that we have this other product that could be used instead. That is, in theory, a defense argument.
You know, this argument is trotted out all the time for all kinds of reasons that we should have protectionist policies, right? The military uses steel, so we have to guarantee that the U.S. steel industry is safe. The military uses everything, right? This can always be an argument, but I don't think it's a very good one, frankly. When there's a shortage, prices go up, but if it's a case of war, if it's a case of national defense, we should be willing to pay those higher prices at that moment. Just because the military uses wheels doesn't mean they have to reinvent the wheel every single time at $500 million a pop.
And Zach, let me use ethanol as an example of an unintended consequence. You get, more green fuel for cars when they include that in gasoline, but the cost goes up for other products because the demand is so high for corn or sugar. I mean, you know that
sure,
very well.
I mean,
you
look,
trade
I mean,
those markets. So
yeah, but I mean, absolutely.
How long do we have to wait for these markets to become so efficient that the price does come down? Hasn't happened all that often.
Yeah, but ethanol is not a good comparison. I mean, ethanol was truly a boondoggle subsidy for corn producing states that was cloaked in the veneer of either alternative energy or independence. And yes, it had very deleterious consequences on the price of corn for foodstuffs around the entire supply chain.
So why isn't that true of algae?
Because, I mean, what else are we going to use algae for? I mean, there's no like global supply chain of algae whereby the price of algae is going to be distorted because the military or any other energy consumer is going to use a lot of it. And again, I don't think it's a specious argument at all to say that we should have both a sustainable source of fuel and a secure source of fuel, both for our military and for our domestic economy. It's the same argument about natural gas. And when you adopt these things in current market conditions, it is almost always more expensive. One, because the current energy supplies have deeply embedded tax subsidies in them, which which we all know, and two, because until you have a market, you know, the early adopters pay more money, and that's just the reality. If you wait for the market to magically solve it, you know, it doesn't usually work that way.
Oh, I think it works all the time. But
I know you do.
You know why algae is so costly? It's because it's so wet. You have to spend tons and tons of energy getting the water out. You need like a huge salad spinner.
You know
this.
To
dry it out. Yeah, yeah. I went
to
talk about
algae. You know a lot about a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
I got to say. Thinking of salad spinners on ships now. It's very distressing.
So impressed. Thank you both.
Department of Defense will have to pay like $500 for that salad spinner.
Salad spinner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that'd be the track record. Good. Thank you both. Interesting conversation.